Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Your Booked, the podcast for literary nosy parkers. I'm your book inspector, Daisy Buchanan, and I've got a very exciting guest coming up. It's author, comic, Live at the Apollo host, and self-described legend, Lou Sanders. First order of business, I'm going to be at the Henley Literary Festival on the 7th of October with Jaspreet Kaur and Isabel Dautier and Rob Rinder. Go to henleyliteraryfestival.co.uk for tickets. My creative writing workshop on the 6th is now sold out, but there may be returns. If you'd like to hear about future workshops or sign up for my next writing course, Write Like a Reader, you'll be wanting my Substack, creativeconfidenceclinic.substack.com. If you'd like access to some bonus content, upcoming talks and masterclasses, you can sign up for the whole enchilada, which is currently half price, £35 for the year. But the beauty of Substack is that you can, of course, get in on it globally. Then, the Margate Bookie is coming on the 21st and 22nd of October. If you like today's episode with Lou, you can come and see her with me and Andy Osho. This is the biggest bookie ever. We've also got Yomi Adegoke, Grace Dent, Lucy Vine, Adam Kay, Jacqueline Crooks, Tessa Hadley, Deborah Levy, and that really is just the tip of the literary iceberg. Go to margatebookie.com for tickets and info. Now, Lou. I'm a massive fan. I love her podcast, Cuddle Club. I love her on Taskmaster. I love her on Unforgivable with podcast alumnus Mel Giedroyc, and I love her book, What Is That Lady Doing? False Starts and Happy Endings. It's a riot. It's raw, hysterically funny, and devastatingly sad, but ultimately hopeful. Lou writes like an angel, albeit an angel who's lit her cigarette the wrong way around. There's hope, there's healing, and there's a band called Jeff Leppard. Lou came to mind for a vegan jam tart, and we talked about Deborah Levy, Louise Hay, Marion Keyes, and Morning Pages. So, Lou, I'm going to start with Louise Hay because I'm a massive fan of Cuddle Club. You're brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
And I know that Louise Hay comes up a lot.
She teaches, yeah. She's come back from the dead for us, yeah.
So when did you first encounter this book? I mean, this book, my
copy.
Oh,
yeah, You Can Heal Your Life. Actually, I don't know if I've read that one. Big fan.
Is this not where she tells you, like, you know, what's going on in your body?
It is, it's just got a different cover to that one.
I see.
That's yes, funny. Is that got? But yours looks bigger. Mine's like a flick through, like a A to Z kind
is
of thing.
Yours, maybe mine's just got it in the back. Also, I think mine's a secondhand copy and it's a bit grubby. But yeah, it's got this index here. Oh, Coma. I opened it on Coma.
Go on. It's a sign.
If you have a Coma.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
You're not really involved in life and you're trying to sort of opt out a bit.
Oh, very, very close. Mm. It's very close. Fear, escaping something or someone.
Yes, okay.
Who among us hasn't been avoiding a deadline?
Who amongst us hasn't been in a coma?
Gone in a coma.
Yeah.
Also, after coma, the next entry is Come Duns?
Come Duns.
What's Come Duns?
Come Duns with
is
me.
Is that what I think
come
it
duns.
Is?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Anyway, where did you meet Louise Hay on the page? Or did you ever meet her?
Oh, yeah, when I was about 13, like I was really into that kind of stuff, like astrology and then like healing. Weird for a 13-year-old. Don't worry, I was also into drugs and being cool. But yeah, I went to a spiritualist church when I was little, around like Margate, Ramsgate. Does Dale not get to sit down? No. Oh dear, that's a sad indictment of your relationship. Come on, Dale, sit yourself down on the end there. That's a producer. We'll let him sit down. He is a man against two women, but we'll let him sit down.
I feel terrible. In all 5-odd years of doing this, I have never, wow, ever offered producer Dale.
That's
a seat.
Terrible. Dale, are you okay?
Yes, sir.
Hang on, am I saying his name right?
Dale.
Yeah. Oh, I thought that, and then I thought you called him Dave, and I felt so embarrassed. But you could really trick someone. Say, this is Dale, and then call them different names, and then see what the other person does.
I mean, I do sometimes call him Dave, but only when we're alone, for private reasons.
Bedroom Dave, kitchen Dave. Yeah, like I used to go to a spiritualist church. Did I say that in the book? I don't know. I can't remember what I said in the book, but I used to get like hands-on healing by some sort of they appear to be 70, 80, but everyone does when you're young, don't they? And they do like hands-on healing. It's weird for a 13-year-old to go to a healing church, isn't it? So I wandered in by myself.
Did you then? Because that's don't remember this being in your book, but I was really like compelled by it and reading very, very quickly. Mm. And Jeff Leppard, I remember.
Yeah. Jeff Leppard, yeah.
I've got that right. It's not Dave Leppard.
No. It's Dale Leppard.
Yeah. So what, you liked the look of it and thought,
what do you mean, the performing?
The spiritualist church.
Oh, yeah, the spiritualist church. Just, no, I think I thought I needed healing from the inside. I think I was quite lost, and I thought, well, maybe that's, well, the phrase clutching at straws comes to mind. But I liked it as well. It was very relaxing to have, you know, a nice lady's hands of just above your head.
And I suppose, you know, they would say, and I'm not, you know, I'm certainly curious about that world. Mm. You're led to it because
it's
where you need to be.
Yeah, because if you're 13 and you're going past a thing with a sign on the door saying healing church, well, I don't know. It takes, like, yeah, I think it's funny on Instagram these days. They've always got things like, you were meant to see this. And I think they've pushed that too far. Like, it's a bit, like, people are just desperately looking for signs, aren't they? You were meant to see this. It's like, what rugby position would you be at? But it's not. It's always some spiritual thing of like, you need to believe in yourself or whatever.
Because I suppose we are always looking for answers.
Yeah.
And we have been for hundreds of thousands of years. And I think, you know, that's something I think of a lot with books and things like, because I love reading self-help and, you know, some of it I find really comforting and useful, and some of it I think is just hilarious and ridiculous, but it's existed for a lot longer than we realise.
Yeah. Oh, no, I love those kind of books. I feel like, why wouldn't you want to improve yourself in every way? Actually, I don't improve myself intellectually enough, but I've always been interested in, I hate the phrase self-help books, but I guess that's what they are. You know, like, well, what could you call them that's like a better branding?
I'm sure that the Victorians would have had a word for it. We will we'll think of something great. But meanwhile, can we talk about your book, which I think is a kind of self-help book, because I absolutely adored it. And it combines my two favourite things, which is, I will happily read anything written by a comic. And I'm a huge fan of your work.
Aww.
I also love any book that talks about, I want to say, substance abuse. Is that fair? I don't know how you want to kind of
just
frame
like
it
having or a lot. I guess we've all lived it. I don't think my my story, in my words, I don't think my story is any different to anyone else's in a way. Like, I think everyone, you know, has gone and done like dumb stuff and not dumb stuff. And then, So I think, and I just tried to add little pearls of wisdom that I've learned and then, but make it funny as well. So yeah, but I think lots of people are identifying with it, so I don't think it's, I don't think it's anything special, but I really pulled my heart into the page. But yeah, as I said, in the kitchen, a lot of my family aren't talking to me, so
But yeah, but I think it's incredibly...
I hope it's worthwhile sales-wise for me to have no family left.
Listeners, you must rush out and make it worth lose. Well, honestly, it is so good. And I think I just thought I'll have it written. I kind of knew as well because I was very lucky. And I think you sent it to me in like a PDF or not.
Yeah, in a Microsoft
Word document.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, get it on my Kindle and I'll start reading. And then I'll probably like eventually finish it on Audible because it's, you know, when it's that slightly...
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to be like one of those like old Victorian ladies who goes blind from lace making. I'm probably formatted, but you know, it's such a cliche, so I couldn't put it down. But I couldn't. I was, and I think it's because of, you know, your voice, and it just it feels really, really generous. And I think there are so many readers who will think, oh God, that I felt that, and I've had that emotion, and I've gone through this and I've tried to block it out. And, you know, we do all feel that bit more held, I suppose, and a bit less ashamed of who we are. Especially, you know, those of us who are like raised and socialised as women, we're always bloody ashamed of something. How they make money from us.
I know, yeah. Men have got their own shames, of course. Dicks, money, whatever. But the big ones, the two
that
big ones.
That would have been a good alternative title.
Yeah, take some money.
Which we should actually say the title because I will be mentioned before, but it's...
What's That Lady Doing?
What's That Lady
Full
Doing?
Full starts and happy endings in the end. But
yes, because when I heard about the book and about the happy endings and you said, you know, there are some happy endings, I thought, ah, that's a good joke. She's doing a bit. But it's like, no, really?
But there are some happy endings. There are, yeah. But yeah, but you bought a book out and I got the PDF of that and I'm very lucky. And then I bought it on Audible. Because, it's brilliant. I've still got 1 hour left. So good, though. I didn't listen to it for ages because I had deadlines. And now I can't stop listening. So anytime I'm, like, in the kitchen or in the bedroom. Yes, I listen in the bedroom. That's where my Alexas are. Then I'm just so excited because I get to listen to more of it before I go out.
Oh, thank you so much.
It races along and it's got really good topics, really good themes, you know.
But Natalie Simpson, who reads it,
she's great.
Really, really, she's brilliant. Amazing.
Yeah, she does an Australian accent as well, which is really good.
So I find it very hard to listen to things that I have written because I just want to kind of edit them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's when I was reading it for the audiobook. I did have a couple of, I had like four or five changes where I was like, I've used the same word in the same paragraph or, you know, something like that. That you're like, oh, this is ruining everything. But I dare say other people won't notice really, you know.
When you're in the book, I've never done it. I've never ever been, even when I've written nonfiction, I wasn't allowed to read the audiobook.
Why?
I felt very sad about it.
When you wrote biography about your life?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Someone, an actor who sounds quite a lot like Lily. No, she was very good.
No.
In fact.
You've got to put your foot down on that, Paul, ain't you?
I almost feel like hiring Lily to live my life. I think she'd be slightly better at it than I am. So have you enjoyed any other books?
Hint of Lily being you.
Dave and Lily. Are there any other books you've listened to on audio that you've really enjoyed? Or any audio books that you would love to narrate?
Yeah, recently I listened to Emma Gannon, The Success Myth, which was really good on audio. And then apart from that, it's a lot of... Well, actually, let's have a look at my library, shall we?
We can do that now that we're here. Yes. I love Emma. She is a friend and a friend of the podcast.
Is she? Yeah, brilliant. She's brilliant. It was really interesting. I've been telling loads of comics to read it because they need to. Oh, The Tramp and the Chump by James McNicholas.
Oh, I don't know that.
He's a comedian and his granddad was like a famous boxer. So, and like really working class, and he was put through private school. It's just the differences in their life. The War of Art, that's an old classic. The Power of Now, which of course I've read before, but you've got to dip back in.
Is that Eckhart Tolle?
Conversations with God, A Course in Miracles, Write for Life by Julia Cameron, and then it's a lot of like screenwriting books. Oh, Stories I Might Regret Telling You by Martha Wainwright. That was okay. Oh, that was a funny one. Pussy by Regina Thomas Hauer. That's about the power of the pussy.
So there's that non-fiction.
Non-fiction, yeah.
I sort of had a vague, like, I think I'd remember a book called Pussy, but maybe I do. But
no, I had a line in it for an Edinburgh show. I mean, the book is absolutely mad in a way. Some of the stuff she's saying, I'm thinking, I think you've gone a bit too far here.
Do you think it's sort of having to, like, you know, 90,000 words on the pussy, and you're like, I've got to think of something.
Yeah, I do. I need to chat. But she was quite, she said, what did she say about it? She's like, oh my God, some of the stuff she said, I was like, I don't think you can put this in a book. It's very unethical. She said, if you like someone, if you've got feelings for someone and they don't like you, I'm sure she honestly suggested, and this is great, get ready for something gross. If any kids are listening, to cover their ears. Oh, I can't believe I'm saying this. And bear in mind, it's not my idea. I'm actually anti it. She said, put a toothbrush up your... and then leave your stuff on it for him. It make him fall in love with you or something.
For them to brush their teeth
yes,
with.
And something that would like, be... Yeah, I'm sure she said that. And I thought, that is deeply unethical. And then she also suggested... don't use this as a pull quote. Putting a bit of your natural thing behind your ears to empower you in the day. I'd like to say I'd never done that, thank you.
Oh, there was a book called Wetlands, I think, and I can't remember who wrote it, and I think it came out around the sort of 2000s-ish when I was a teenager, and I remember that being in the book and kind of scandalising people. And then it was on TikTok a year ago, or 2 years ago, and I was like, well, this is old news. I mean, yeah. I've been doing it every day since I was a teenager.
How do you think I got 5 book deals? That's you.
I was like, you give me this book contract or I will take your toothbrush and I will shove it up my...
So it's just but too much.
That's something, isn't it, about relationships and misunderstandings and manipulation and all the books that we think of and the novels we think of being like phenomenally romantic, and then we go and look back and we're like, oh no, actually that's someone doing something that wasn't toothbrush related but is still somehow creepy and weird.
Yeah.
And I think all the time about in Normal People, and I remember this really clearly on the TV show, and I think it must, yeah, of course it must have been in the book, but I don't remember it so vividly, when Connor just wants to tell Marianne that he's in love with her and wants to be with her, and the way it comes out is him saying, so I'll move out and I'll not see you for the whole summer. And you're like, what are you doing? But this is all the messages we get from books, whether they're non-fiction or fiction, are like, that thing you want to do and that thing you want to say to a person, do the opposite.
Yeah, right. What do you mean? Well, so I thought in popular culture, we're always told that the man is going to like swoon and chase us and stuff. But so
I think we are told to, you know, allow ourselves to be chased, or like not, like, if you like someone, for God's sake, don't tell them. Keep it a secret, take it to the grave.
Right, yeah. I think you should know if someone likes you, though. I like, it's funny, when I used to be quite obsessive about men, I've got a friend called Georgie, and she's such a good friend. She's like one of my best friends, and she'll always assume that the men are in love with me because she loves me. So she used to give me terrible advice. We laugh about it now. Like, if someone's doesn't like me, she's like, well, he's obsessed with you, darling, you don't take no for an answer. She'd just be like, give me terrible advice, and I'd be like, no, Georgie.
I love don't take no for an answer. Like, I'm already imagining Georgie in a pinstripe suit. Like, make the love deal.
She's more sort of gold and sort of floral, but she wafts around, so again, he's obsessed. But you have to not listen to that. But I think you have to sort of listen to what people are telling you. I think if they're saying I move out, it'd just be like, yeah, go on then. Because I've obviously got commitment issues.
I was wondering whether you read any memoirs, either kind of in preparation for writing one, or if there are any memoirs that made you think, I'd love to.
Yeah, well, I read, when I'd already got my book deal and was sort of halfway through, I read Deborah Levy.
I had a spooky feeling you might have been going to say Deborah Levy.
One of my favourite authors is Deborah Levy, and I've only just discovered her. So I haven't read, I've got some books still to read of hers, but I've read all her, well, she did a trilogy biography, didn't she? Like, do you know the one I mean?
And then did she call them like the life writing or the living biographies? And there's one called The Cost of Living.
The Cost of Living is my favourite one, yeah. I think that's number two, but I accidentally started at number two because I didn't realise there were three. And then I went back to her early life and then I finished it off, you know, with the last one. But oh my God, it's brilliant. She's so good. She's such a good writer. Do you like her?
I love her. And yeah, same. I was late to the party and everyone's saying, you must read her. And I thought, well, I know I'll like her. And, you know, the joy and pain of doing this is I've always got 50 books to read and I'm always so behind.
Yeah.
And I read Hot Milk, which...
That's what I've got to read, yeah.
Loved. And it wasn't what I was expecting. And it sort of pulled me in. Then it got much darker and weirder than I thought it was going to go. And I loved the idea of reading The Cost of Living. Partly, I think, because I'm so curious about how she... Am I right in thinking she wrote a book that was fairly well received, and I think she was maybe married to a playwright and got divorced,
and
then became sort of phenomenally successful in her 50s.
Yeah.
Those are the stories I
love.
But
then she doesn't think she's successful enough. So when you read her book, you're sort of thinking, well, she bought an apartment in Paris, but she'd always dreamed of... Because real estate, I think, is the last one. And she's sort of, you know, dreaming of having, you know, property with a garden or land, you know, and seeing where she's going to sort of lay down her roots. So I couldn't really tell how successful she was, you know, I don't know. But she, the joy of small things and the way she describes things and the way she sort of supports young women and I don't know. And the second book, The Cost of Living one, was a little bit how women sort of get overlooked by in the industry in the way that men don't. And then, you know, all the domestic labour that she did in her marriage and, yeah, basically, do you want to be an artist or do you want to be... It's hard to have both.
But then, and I feel like a really bad feminist because the bits I remember about that book and I loved her, I think, because she got like a little like wagon she has on a bike or something and she's always having people over for dinner and it's like roast chickens, gorgeous Nigella raguchi bohemian.
Yeah. So then she's sort of finding, piecing herself together and, you know, finding the joy. Now she talks about swimming away from the boat and the boats of her marriage and stuff. Mm. Amazing. I love the start of it where she talks about this young woman talking to a man on the beach, and the man's sort of double her age, and she's just had this experience where she felt she was going to nearly die on a boat, and I think this is true. And then the man's sort of speaking to her and she's saying, well, these people didn't wait for me, and, you know, telling a story. And he's like, oh, you talk a lot, don't you? And he wants to tell his story and he wants her to be an audience, and she's come with her own story, and he's like, no, you'll be a player in mine, not the main event in yours. You know what I mean? The way she describes how that plays out, I thought it was, you know, brilliant.
And it's really perceptive, isn't it? And, you know, I think, you know, everyone, every woman who reads it, like, you know, it's sort of, it, your gut twists because you're like, I have been in some version of that.
And
I've made myself smaller because I felt that I would do better as an audience member and not the main character.
And I love, and we can all play parts in each other's stories, but he just wanted to shut this young girl down. She's just had a big experience where, I don't know, but, and I love the way that she loves seeing her daughter's friends and cooking for her daughter's friends. And yeah, I don't know, I thought it was beautiful.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
We'll be back with Lou soon, but now it's time for my Steal of the Week. I've chosen Factory Girls by Michelle Golan. The story of Maeve and her two best friends working in a shirt factory in Northern Ireland while they wait for their A-levels. This is filthy, furiously funny and gorgeously written. A vicious, visceral and moving story about class, ambition and teenage dreaming. I loved it so much, and I think you will too. Factory Girls by Michelle Gollan is published by John Murray and out now. Now back to Lou.
So Nina Stibbe, I don't know if you have come across Nina. She wrote Love Nina was her
book.
And she's written novels as well. She's really, really funny.
Yeah.
She's got a book coming out in November. It's called Went to London, Took the Dog, I think, or Gone to London,
That's
Took the Dog.
That's a good title, yeah.
And it is about how, it's her diaries of the year where she decided in her 60s that she was going to leave her marriage, or have like a sabbatical from her marriage, leave Cornwall, live in London. She lives in the writer Deborah Mogok's spare room in Hampstead-ish, and it's like one of those old-fashioned kind of literary novels, but set here and now. But what's so lovely is that Nina has this amazing friendship with her grown-up kids, who are these characters in the story, and they're just so funny and so great, and Nina's so welcoming of them and of their friends and their lives. And it's a woman in her early 60s being curious about kind of youth and love and how people are living. There's I shouldn't reveal too many book spoilers, but it made me laugh so much. There's one day entry where she's with Alf, her son, who's in her 20s, and they bump into his old statistics teacher, and Alf says, "What are the chances?"
Oh, that's nice. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
A good joke.
Lovely. So, is that real then? That's a real thing. It's all true.
It's all well.
Well, it's diary,
As much as any of our books are true. I think so. There is one person who comes up a lot in the book, and I believe this might be like a composite character, although another mutual friend who's read the book says, no, she's definitely real.
Oh, but
I'm
like,
I'm in the book meeting this composite character at a party. I'm like, I have no memory of this.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Oh, I see.
And you know, it's not like I was still drinking then, but I do remember everyone else I met at the party. So.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
But, yeah, I think it's got that sort of Deborah Levy.
So I've never heard anyone taking a sabbatical from their marriage. I find that fascinating.
There is another book, The Break by Marion Keyes, which I loved. Marion have you Keyes. Read much,
yeah,
Marion?
Yeah, I have, but I've forgotten. Yeah, ages ago. But I love Marion Keyes. I did Sunday brunch with her once and she's so nice.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, she's so nice.
I
need to pick a Marion Keyes up again, actually.
Well, I recommend The Break, which I think might be, other than like the Walsh Girls ones, one of my favourites, because I love the main character, Amy, so much. And Amy's married to Hugh. Hugh's also really fit in the book. I really, really fancied the idea of him.
Yeah.
But he goes to Amy one day and says, "Baby, I love you, but I need a year out. I'm losing my mind." And he's becoming increasingly kind of removed and remote, and his father's died, and I think maybe his brother died, there was another close friend died, and he doesn't know how to grieve, and they're not really in touch anymore. And he's like, "I want to come back to you, but I need a year out. I need to go away." And Amy is horrified.
Yeah, because it's not
devastated.
The story we're told a lot, but...
And yet, and thinks, you know, clearly you're not coming back. Why would you? How could you? Clearly this is it. And it's about how they navigate that, but it's told with lots of flashbacks. And because what I think she does so well is like the unreliable narrator. And you think, oh, Amy has been wronged. And then you learn more about the sort of the other things that have been happening in the run up to this. And obviously it has a happy ending. But again, she writes like kids, teenagers so well.
Wow.
They're really, really well realised.
Oh, I can't wait to read that.
Oh, fly through it as well. It's
the thing is, I can't read for a bit. I can... Oh, it's hard, isn't it, to fit everything in? But I'm going to start reading again soon. I go through massive, like, surges. When I've got deadlines on, I'm like, I can't do anything. And then, yeah. Anyway, it'll be fine.
And then, so are you allowed to talk about your deadlines, or is it secret?
No, it's
project?
boring. I love going on holiday and taking books, and then you read five, and then I won't read any for, you know, 2 months or something, but yeah.
So, I mean, this is something I feel quite evangelical about, and it's the book I'm working on at the moment where I sort of want to argue that I always just feel so much better for reading.
Really?
And I think even if you just do 10 minutes a morning, it sort of sets you up for the day and it stops me being on my phone.
It's really hard when you've got stand-up, exercise, meditation, like all this stuff to do. I don't know. I'm going to a silent retreat soon for 4 days, but you can't read them when you're there.
Oh, I've always wanted to go to a silent retreat. Have you been before?
Never, no.
Oh, wow. And did you...
Wasted opportunity, just sitting around not being able to read. Absolutely livid with myself for making
but
that.
But then, old Julia Cameron does that, doesn't she? Yeah, she talks about having a reading fast, which I've never done. I've never, ever done the artist's way. I have filled my copy with Post-its.
Yeah.
I've got sort of to like the second week. I've had a couple of very bad artist dates and I've been like, screw this.
Yeah, same, the artist date. Oh my God, there's so much time. You've got to hang with yourself. Oh my God.
I went to the Turner.
Yeah.
And I felt very kind of like, oh, I'm a bad person because I'm not moved by the art and I just want to fiddle with my phone. And I think I was waiting for something or someone, and
yeah, very waiting twitchy for your and, seventh book deal.
Come on, the toothbrushes. I know. But yeah, I just was very twitchy and unfocused and completely, you know, in neither my head nor my body. And the second time I thought, I'm just going to do whatever the hell I want. And what I want to do is I want to take myself to Canterbury. I want to go to Wagamama and I want to have lunch in Wagamama on my own and order 10 things.
Yeah.
And look at the Chazzers, play with the perfumes in Phoenix. That's a good day out. And then I was recording a podcast and it was supposed to be in the morning and it got rescheduled. And the only other time that person could do was that afternoon. Yeah. I have never forgiven them. I won't say who they are.
It's good to have some burning resentment.
Yes. Really fueled by that resentment and like all the dumplings and noodles I've never eaten. And it's
You want to Marianne Keyes it and then see their side of the story, you know? Do you know what I mean?
Yes. And I would probably find out that they had some really like serious and devastating reasons.
Also, you can put your boundaries down and say, no, I'm going to Phoenix to smell the perfume, but I guess in your heart of hearts you think that can wait.
Yeah, I think that's it. Maybe I should do this. That's it. So I'm having a week off morning pages because
do them every day anyway?
I try to.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
Well, I feel like they were just making things worse.
Oh really? Oh my God.
It was like the Golden Cleric acceptance speech. I know, problematic Father Ted, but I did love it so before.
Yeah,
But yes, it's sort of like 3 pages of bitter, grumpy complaints.
Oh yeah.
I think I need to become more positive.
Well, no, but it gets it out. That's the thing. Imagine how much worse you'd be if you didn't get it out. But then I do flip it into gratitude. So I have a lot of that, depending on how I'm feeling. And get it out on the page and then I flip it to gratitude. So the last sort of 10 sentences. I know.
Gratitude on the third page.
It's like, I'll have a little bitch to the page. And then I'll be like, here's all the things I'm grateful for. And then it leaves you feeling up a bit, you know?
I think that's a very smart way to do it. I thought I'll give myself a week and then fresh start.
Yeah, see how you feel. It's all an experiment. That's just the Lulu Sanders way. Okay, so.
This is your next book.
See ya.
The Lulu way.
Imagine.
Take my money.
It's one page long. Who did that seagull behind you? Because it's really nice. I know it's not podcast.
Is an artist called Megan Metcalf.
I love it.
I love Megan Metcalf and her work, so I'm really happy to give her a plug. But yeah, we won that in the Pride raffle.
That's a really good win. Wow, seagull's one of my spirit animals, no big deal.
Oh, really? One of many.
I'll leave that hanging there. Yes, seagull and a fox in the end.
So we recorded a podcast with GBC Pierre, who wrote that book, Vernon Godlittle.
I love that book.
Ah, yeah. Cool. So his new book.
Oh, wow.
And here we go. So this is Pierre's book, Big Snake, Little Snake, An Inquiry into Risk. And what it is about is the difference between countries where they're quite gaudy and I guess countries that are more into kind of the randomness of fate and chance and luck. Mm. And he talks about how it begins with him he opens the door and he sees a snake unexpectedly. I think he's living in Mexico at the time.
That makes more sense.
And then the Mexican lottery, I believe, rather than choosing numbers, you do choose animals. And it's a sign, I'm going to put my money on the snake.
Yeah.
And it pays off, snake wins big, and he goes off on a trip. It's sort of pursuing luck and chance and signs. And
so it a true story?
Yeah.
Wow, I mean, love it.
I mean, the funny thing about Pierre, he's great. I mean, I suspect the weirdest things he tells are the true ones, but he does have a real eye for a story.
I love that. That looked like it was printed on the shark. So when he said he drew you a shark, that's great.
He said, I will draw you a magic animal if you come and bite. Everyone gets their own magic animal.
That's
so
great. That is
your next signing.
Yeah, I'll do my own thing. But I'll think of something similar. I don't want to rip him off, but yeah.
Well, I'm sure. And also because...
A lucky letter.
So he spent a lot of time in Australia and Mexico. He spent a lot of time in the Margate, Thanet, Broadstairs area. Mm. Lucky animal range is going to be very different.
For the listeners, should we just describe what happened there? So Davey punched her husband in the bits. I think it's worth mentioning, isn't it? And that he stood up. He stood up again.
Oh,
he hadn't been standing down, up. Isn't he?
I wouldn't have.
He's allowed to sit down, isn't he? Let the man sit down again.
So, a thing I always ask people is about like reading when you were a kid. Were there any books you remember like loving or hating? Or
no, I wasn't a massive reader, actually. I don't think. I only found reading quite late in life. Actually, it's good stuff, you know. I hate that everyone's got a diagnosis nowadays, you know, because I just think everyone's got pros and cons to their personality. But I suspect, and I will never do a test, I suspect I'm severely ADHD because I cannot sit still for, you know. So I think that probably impacted not wanting to sit down with a book, you know.
And I think it's so interesting that now, in a way, I think it's really, really great that, you know, in theory we acknowledge like there are so many ways of learning and I've always thought, you know, books like wait for us. My sister Maddie loves reading now. She did English literature at university and she's like, nope, I hate it. Like when she told everyone she was doing English, we all thought she was taking the piss.
I wonder why she did it then.
I don't think it helped her love of literature, but it has sort of come to her now.
I guess when you're told to do something like, so my mum and stepdad really sort of valued reading, so I guess I went the other way. But then when you're older and you can decide. Do you know what I heard once, which I think is brilliant? Like this kid, the kid's parents said, if you're naughty, we're going to take your books away.
Ooh.
It's really good, isn't it? So then they learnt to sort of value that. So it could backfire, but it's not a bad idea to try, isn't it?
Well, that's what, when you know, my reading really got going when I was just very, very into filth. And I still am into filth, but even... Jilly Cooper, you go back and, you know, and what the thing that was disappointing for me about adult life is people so rarely make puns during sex, which all Jilly Cooper characters do.
Yeah, that is weird, isn't it? But I think I'd be a bit disheartened if someone made a pun. I think your mind's not really here. I've heard of laughing someone into bed, but not laughing someone in bed, you know. I think, I don't know, that's a pun. You're welcome. Don't get too aroused. I mean, I have made jokes in the arena, but
I suppose perhaps it is because, you know, when I was young and confused, it was sex education that wasn't technical or shame based, and it was like, it's nothing to be scared of, it's jokes a go-go.
Have you got some good original books in there?
So we are looking at our old producer Dale and I have a ludicrous piece of furniture, which we think is a department store shop counter, which is possibly used to display ladies' gloves and scarves in the 1950s. And it is full of P.G. Woodhouse books, beloved of producer Dale.
Oh, you both like books. That's going to work.
It does help with this podcast.
That's lovely. Do you read to each other sometimes?
Audio otherwise. I have been trying to campaign for this for some time and he's having none of it. Although I believe we had Jenny Eclair on and she said it in other interviews, so I know it's true, that her and her partner, I think, listen to audiobooks at night, which I think is just lovely.
And nice.
My dream is that we... do that and we stop watching the same episode of Family Guy that we've seen 27 times and listen to Middlemarch. But
he seems on board.
I think it's me. I think I'm the problem here. Doesn't have a fancy Middlemarch at 10 o'clock at night, like bright soothing colours.
That's the I think I've hit on something. It doesn't have to be Middlemarch. The other audiobooks exist, maybe.
Are there any books that you would, I think, I'd love to like adapt or read the audio of?
That's a good question. Well, do you know one of my favourite books was called Don't Hold Your Head Down? Have you read it?
No.
Oh my God, it is great. So it's by the journalist that started the No More Patriarchy campaign and managed to get tits out the papers.
Oh, is that Lucy Ann Holmes?
Yeah. And it's absolutely brilliant. It's a manifesto, I think, for everyone. Like, for, I think they should give it to people in schools, like 15, 16 year olds, because it's all about like not like knowing your body, getting in touch with your body, not tolerating stuff that doesn't feel right, learning about your boundaries, learning about other people's boundaries and respect. But it's really funny as well. Oh my God, I love that book. And my friend Jessica Knappit actually got to adapt that for TV, and then they didn't want it in the end. But yeah, so I thought that book was great. What would I like to adapt? I don't know.
Ooh, I love the idea of taking something that isn't necessarily fiction and kind of finding a story to put on the screen within it. A bit like with Everything I Know About Love, that
it's the
book and the TV show are sort of kind of separate entities.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to make my book into a film or TV show, obviously.
Be great. And would you play you, or would you cast you through the ages?
I'll play young me, but no, I'll play old me, or now me. I did take a bit of my childhood and write a script. It hasn't really gone anywhere, but a script sort of based on that and then more fictionalised, about me going to live with my dad when I was 8, which I didn't do, but how, like, I go and help him sort of wheeling and dealing and stuff. And I really like that, but I didn't get picked up, actually. But
oh, that's such a great idea. I want to see that.
I can't think of a book that... You can't say your own answer, can you? I'm just trying to think of a book. The thing is, I read stuff and forget, but I think Don't Hold Your Head Down was a great opportunity missed.
Dads and Wheeling and Dealing, books I'd recommend on that theme, because it is a genre. Have you come across Mickey Bereny, who was in that band Lush? She has written a memoir called Fingers Crossed, and it's great.
Yeah.
And what's sort of mad about it and amazing is the most sort of gripping and like shocking bits of the book. Like, her becoming a pop star is almost boring. What her family are so just fascinating, incredible. And her father was sort of descended from like Hungarian nobility or royalty.
Yeah.
And her mother was, I think, also a Japanese aristocrat and movie star.
Wow.
So she spent her summers with her mother in Hollywood, driving around a massive Cadillac and like fabulous 70s sort of shag pile Playboy mansion surroundings. And then with her dad, he was sort of living in a kind of squash off the Holloway Road, and it was awful because she was horribly abused by her grandmother. But these people, because of sort of being born into nobility, no one who was looking after her had any idea how to look after themselves, because they just had servants the whole time. And there's an amazing story where they go on this road trip back to Hungary, I think, to kind of see like the old family palace. But to fund the trip, her dad has bought all manner of like plastic tats from the Holloway Road. And she has to kind of go out into like Italian piazzas and things of sell them when she's like 9 or 10 to just passers by. Other book is a novel by Nell Frizzell, who's a friend, and I think she's wonderful. And it's called Square One. And it's about a heroine who, and it's so far so kind of mid-20s, dumped, fired, life gone to shit, moved back home. But she has to move back home with her dad, who is in his early 60s and dating, and his grown-up daughter is kind of cramping his style.
That's great.
I would love to see that on TV, I think.
Do you know what I'd like? I've just remembered too. Such a Fun Age. I think that'd be a great film.
Yes!
That'd be such a good film.
They've got to be adapting that, right?
It's such a good book, and it would be perfect for film. All the sort of stuff that's sort of, you know, they're saying one thing but feeling another, and oh, yeah, I love that. And then what's the other? Oh, Why Be Happy When You Can Be Normal? That would be a bit of a bleak film, but be really good, I think.
Is that her memoir?
It's one of them. I think she wrote one, but she wasn't that honest because her mum was still alive. And then when her mum died, she wrote a really, really honest one, and I think it's better.
Oh, I think I've got a copy of that and I've never read it, but maybe I will read
it.
It's
uplifting and miserable at the same time, because she really went through the ringer and her mum was insane. But then the fact that she taught herself a different way to be is really inspiring. And she came out as gay and her mum hated it, and as queer, and her mum was very religious and oppressive, and but you know, you sort of think, well, it's probably not her fault, but thank God she sort of, the cycle stopped with her, so it's really good.
So I remember, I think Jeanette Winston was in the news quite recently because she burnt her own books.
Oh yeah.
Was that Jeanette Winston?
Yeah. Everyone needs to calm down. I mean, grow up. Like, everyone was attacking her. It's like, God, it's just a little fun stunt. Don't worry about it, you know?
I mean, I guess it's come to something where you get cancelled for burning your own books.
Yeah, I mean, chill out.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because I do think that, on the one hand, there is so much snobbery around, like, what we read and how we feel about it. And But she's a...
Why is everyone offended all the time? Like, get back in your house. Stop like looking to be offended. There's always something to offend you. How about you just think everyone's living a different life? I don't know. Also, if you see like the childhood she had, I'm surprised she's not setting houses on fire.
I think that's the other thing as well, as someone who is grand as she is, and she has been, you know, writing books, and you know, for she's a internationally recognised and celebrated author, and if she can't have a conversation with her publishers about how she is kind of being packaged and sold, and if she feels like belittled by that, then you know, someone somewhere is fucked up. That is the problem.
Let her burn her books. Have a laugh.
No, I suppose it's, but you know, kind of. I think of the books I love, and again, it's that, you know, do you read Middlemarch, or do you read, you know, what you love? And you know, I do think there are people who would just love reading, but they don't do it because they feel there are books that they feel like they should read, they don't want to read, and there are the books they want to read that they're kind of afraid to be caught reading.
Everyone, just be responsible for yourself. Like, don't worry what everyone else is doing. Like, you know, if I like the colour pink and everyone tells me pink is anti-feminist and you shouldn't be wearing pink, it's like, oh, I'll wear pink, it makes me feel nice. Don't, like, you can't be upset by something someone else is doing. If just work on like solidifying yourself so you're not shaken around by someone else's choices, you know.
I feel like Louise Hay is very good on this. Yeah. We've come full circle.
Yeah. Shame she's dead, but she did last quite a long time. And she had cancer or something. So she was really embarrassed, I think, because she'd been in the alternative world for so long and healing, and she had a terrible upbringing. And then she healed herself with all this stuff, and then she did get cancer. And she's like, oh, I couldn't tell anyone for ages because I thought maybe they'll think this stuff doesn't work. And then she got better and she was fine.
But I do think it's such a fascinating area about that kind of the brain-body link. And you know, God, I can only imagine what it's like to have cancer at all, but to have it knowing that you can't, you know, talk about it because you feel...
You know that Body Keeps the Score book?
Yes, I was just going to
mention that. Apparently that, when it came out, didn't do very well at all. And it was like 20, 30 years on that it did really well. I don't know if that's true.
Did you read that amazing piece about it in New York Mag quite recently? And it was just about sort of that guy being, I think, quite controversial. And so many of his methods, like I think EMDR is sort of, I think his work, Bessel von, the man who wrote The Body Keeps the Score, which I'll put in the show notes. I think that a lot of his work kind of possibly, maybe, led to the evolution of that.
Oh, but if people aren't ready for it, it's so depressing. Like Van Gogh, you know, didn't sell a painting at his time, famously. And, you know, it's just so sad. Someone's like trying to help the society. Like, hey guys, look at this. Like, your body and brain are linked. And everyone's so angry about taking on change or like changing the system or whatever. Like, how dare you? Because they want to give over their health to a medical profession. Or I don't know, they're like, this could be dangerous to listen to this guy. And it's like, no, you're taking responsibility for your health. I don't know. People now, even now, get annoyed if you dare to suggest there's another way. And it's not to say medicine's not great, but it can go side by side along with something else.
I think that's it, in that everyone is individual. Like, you have no idea just what is going to work for you or isn't. I feel like we're becoming a very different podcast. but I think, you know,
books.
Always fascinating, and it's always great to keep an open mind. Like, the books I love,
books, but I am anti-vax. I'm joking.
But one of my favorite books is The Pursuit of Love by Nancy Mitford, and there's a character in that book called Davy. I don't know if you
know it. I haven't read it, but it was on telly a little while ago.
But he's sort of obsessed with his health, and he's always on very specific diets, and it's like either milk is all he can have and it's all you eat, or milk is like total poison the next day. And his sort of his fascination with how to be healthy and changing your mind all the time and realizing there's nothing new. We've always had questions and we've always tried to kind of to live better, and these things sort of come back around. Listeners who have read your book and loved your book, and there will be listeners out there who are about to read your book and love your book, is there anything that you'd sort of recommend, you know, reading next, or even, you know, watching, listening to next?
Oh, Deborah Levy, if you haven't. I'm trying to read sort of female authors, really. What else? Well, that one I just said about
The Lucy Ann Holmes one.
Yeah, read that. Oh my god, read that. And then
I'm gonna read that, it sounds great.
Ages No, Age is a Feeling's a play I saw. Bloody hell.
Such a fun age.
Such a fun age. Yeah. But your listeners will know more about books than me.
Oh, I don't know. And I think what's so lovely is every time I do this, like, you have named so many books where I'm like, I don't know that, but I want to. I'm getting
we
in
there.
We
all know different books, I suppose. That's the thing, yeah.
That's, you know, I think that's really exciting, and that's why I do this. So because I want to know all the books. I won't rest until I've completed books.
Uh-oh, that's going to take a while. Yeah. That's what my little brother asked when he was young once. Mum, would I ever be able to read all of the books? Nah.
I find that really comforting. I think.
Don't even try. My advice is don't even bother reading.
I mean, occasionally when I have my annual reread of Rachel's Holiday, which I love, I'm like, I should possibly make some time to read a new book. I'm like, but I love this book. And it is a little bit different every time.
Huge thanks to Lou. What Is That Lady Doing is published by Blink and out now. The audio is a treat, or come to the Margate Bookie and she'll sign your copy. Your Book is produced by Dale Shaw for New Alaska and created by Dale Shaw and me, Daisy Buchanan. To see all the books Lou mentioned, go to acast.com/booked and you can shop a selection on our page at bookshop.org. Find us and follow us on social media at @whybooked. And if you're feeling especially generous, we would hugely appreciate a 5-star review. As well as helping us, you could be helping a brand new listener to find their new favourite book. Finally, I leave you with this from Maeve Binchy. I don't have ugly ducklings turning into swans in my stories. I have ugly ducklings turning into confident ducks. See you next time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.